This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
I'm Helen Farmer. Great to have you with us on today's episode of Afternoons, turning our attention to the first day of the holy month of Ramadan. We were talking about an initiative by Dubai Holding that is distributing 120,000 products to those in need. And how about using those shorter hours for some connection time with your kids? Lego Middle East in the studio talking about the power of play and a bit of mindfulness too. And if you're using that time for a bit of a declutter, how about a clothes swap party? It was Anthea Ayash from The Ethicalist who's in the studio to talk about the impact that fashion has on our planet, and an event next week where you could be renewing your wardrobe for not a lot of cash. Plus, property special on a Monday. It was House & House in studio. Talia Besser from House & House sharing her top tips on renovating, getting bang for your buck, and is it really worth putting in a swimming pool? And answering your property law questions, Jasmine Stevenson. Everything from delayed handovers to, can you legally rent out your maid's room? Talking fashion now, according to analysis by Business Insider, fashion production comprises around 10% of total global carbon emissions. That's as much as the European Union. Dries up water sources, pollutes rivers and streams, and 85% of all textiles go into dumps every single year. So what is the alternative? What can we do? What should we do to address this, not only for the planet, but, you know, to inject a bit more fun into our wardrobes as well? Anthea Ayash with us today. She's the founder of The Ethicalist, really experienced journalist with a passion for conservation and human rights, ahead of an event that's happening this time next week. How are you, Anthea?
I'm very well, thank you, Helen. It's lovely to see you.
And you, and you. Now, I love talking fashion, but it does tend to make me feel a little bit guilty because I really like shopping too. So we're offering some solutions, but before we start talking solutions, let's talk about the problem. Just how impactful is fashion, specifically what's known as fast fashion on the planet?
I mean, like you just said, fast fashion is a huge problem. I mean, our carbon fashion footprints are something that we all really, really need to be aware of. I mean, ultimately, when you're buying a cheap new item, it may come with an invisible planetary tag, you know, but ultimately it might not affect your wallet, but it is affecting the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. As you just said, it's the third largest contributor to global carbon emissions. That's the same as the whole maritime and aviation industry combined.
Wow.
I mean, it's, you know, 10% of global emissions is pretty huge. Also, I mean, the carbon, if you think about just that, you say you love shopping, you know, when was the last time that you bought a pair of jeans, for example?
About 3 weeks ago.
Right. Okay. You know, you're not alone. But the fact is that one pair of jeans comes with a carbon footprint of 16 kgs of CO2, which is the equivalent of driving around 58 miles in your car, which may not sound like a lot. But when you think that there are 6 billion pairs of jeans made every year, then that number becomes quite significant. Yeah.
It's quite a complicated one to unpack when we think about fashion, because we've obviously seen some horrendous tragedies around working conditions in factories. And obviously, if you want to watch The True Cost, it's a really, really interesting documentary. But so there are some really amazing companies that are setting up to be, you know, more ethical, more socially responsible. But they come with a price tag as well. So I think this is a big obstacle to a lot of people going, you know, I want to buy from a company that is, you know, sustainable, and they're looking more at, you know, the products and the way people are treated. But being realistic, not everyone can afford those kind of premium products. So I guess it's not just about our shopping habits, but how we wear our clothes. Because I've got things that were cheap that I have worn again and again and again. So fast fashion isn't necessarily just about, you know, buying a T-shirt that's 25 dirhams and wearing it once and throwing it away. You can buy something that's super expensive, wear it once, and it's just as problematic. So I think I wanted to ask you about, why is it so important that we don't throw clothes away, you know, lean more towards, I mean, pre-loved repurposing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like you say, there are so many ways that we can keep our clothes alive for longer. They do not need to go in the bin. You know, ultimately, the fast fashion industry is based on the premise that we're going to buy it, it's not going to last, we're going to throw it away, and we're going to go back and buy again. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, our throwaway culture has got completely out of hand.
It has in terms of, I mean, we can look to social media in terms of, mm-hmm, people, you know, getting excited about drops more and more. Mm-hmm. And more. Mm. I don't quote me on this, but I think the turnaround in terms of, you know, Zara going from, you know, factory to floor is about 15 days. So instead of having, you know, four fashion seasons a year, you have more like 25.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's got completely out of control and everybody's following it. And I think it's now estimated that we only wear an item of clothing between 7 and 10 times. And I'm sure in some cases it's far less than that. I, like you, have got so many pieces in my wardrobe that I've had for years and years. And I, you know, I hate throwing clothes away. There's always a way that you can repurpose them, give them, donate them. But, you know, I mean, I think it's Olivia Firth, who was the founder of EcoAge. She's been advocating for hashtag 35 wears, where she says, if you're not going to wear it 35 times, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really good anecdote to follow.
I've got two bags in the back of my car right now because I had a bit of a sort out on this rainy Saturday. And I think actually Ramadan's a really good time for a bit of a declutter, you know, really mm-hmm. take a hard look at those items and say, you know, are they just taking up space in my wardrobe, or could they be going to someone else, to somewhere else? Mine are going to go to thrift for good, mm-hmm. But we're going to talk about another way next. In the studio from The Ethicalist, we've got the founder, Anthea Ayash, and we are going to be talking about a clothes swap event next that's taking place next week. We are talking fast fashion, slow fashion, upcycling, selling, swapping now with the founder of The Ethicalist, online and print magazine as well, focused around sustainability, passion for the planet, and introducing you to companies, people, services that you might not know exist. I'm a firm believer that all of us want to do good, but sometimes we just don't know how. And I think that's where you as a platform are so, so fantastic, because I'm always going, oh gosh, I didn't know that was a thing, which brings us to an event you're having next week. In fact, it's this time next week, next Monday. We've just been talking about leaning more towards repurposing our clothes. You're having a swap.
We are. We're having a giant conscious clothes swap party that's taking place at the Media One Hotel next Monday evening from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock, up at Coco Lounge. And we're basically inviting people to bring around up to 10 items of their unwanted clothes and accessories per person. And they can then bring them in and they can swap them for somebody else's unwanted clothes and accessories.
I love it.
Turning somebody's trash into somebody else's treasure.
Because we do have those items, you think, oh, I really loved that when I got it. But as you mm-hmm. you know, as you kind of alluded to earlier, if items are only worn kind of 7 to 10 times, and especially, and I hate myself for saying this, in this kind of time of social media, if there is something quite distinctive that you've worn before, it's been in photos, or you tie it to a special occasion in your head, and you kind of think, oh, I just don't really want to wear that again. To give it a second chance, at, you know, of someone else loving it, is fantastic. I've had a book club night where we had a swap shop, and it was one of the most fun ones we've ever done. So about 10 items. Mm-hmm. So shoes, clothes, belts, accessories, what are you looking for?
So yeah, absolutely, all of those. Anything that you've loved in the past. And what we'll do is when you get there, we will put them into, you'll get tokens based on value. So if somebody brings in something that's slightly more expensive, they'll get a particular coloured token, and then they can amass those tokens and go and spend those tokens on other items that are going to be available.
You're going to get first dibs. I'd be at the door being like, if you could just like, put this by me. for real. I'd be like, any size 41 shoes knocking around, please? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to do well?
Well, I'm not sure. I would have thought a whole load of things. But the great thing about the event is that we've also got some really good speakers to come down. So we've got Leisha Naik, who's a sustainable stylist. Her whole premise is that she shops your closet. She doesn't shop shops.
Oh, please send her my way.
Yeah. So she'll come in and look at your wardrobe. If you've got, you know, so many of us have got so many clothes in our wardrobe and we don't know what we don't. We say, oh, I've got nothing to wear. So, you know, Leisha will come in and just basically say, no, you've got loads to wear. So she's going to be giving styling tips on the night to people.
She sounds fab.
Yeah. And we've also got Amelia Altman, who is a slow fashion designer. And her idea is a capsule wardrobe. So she's going to be talking how to create the perfect capsule wardrobe, which for those of you listening who don't know, a capsule wardrobe is when you have few items that all work together so that you don't need to have hundreds of bits in your wardrobe.
She's fantastic. I've got a couple of her pieces and the quality is just beautiful. And also in terms of kind of championing local fashion here as well, Amelia Altman's absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, she is. She's wonderful. And I absolutely love her clothes.
Yeah.
And the event's being held in collaboration with the Climate Club as well, Maz Fletcher from ASRAC. And so, you know, tickets are available on the Climate Club and on the Ethiclist Instagrams.
All right. So if you want that, you can just send me the word clothes. We will send you the link.
And also, very importantly, Birthday Bliss are going to be there.
Oh.
And because of your post that I came across,
is
Birthday
right?
Bliss. Yes.
So Birthday Bliss were on the show about a month or so ago. And if you missed it, just send me the word Bliss. I'll send you the podcast. This was a company that was set up, an initiative, not a company as such, during the pandemic, aiming to help families who are having a tough time financially have birthday parties for little ones. So they started working with cake decorators, with balloon artists, to give birthday parties to kids and, you know, allow them to have that special day. They aimed, I think, to have 3 during the first month, and they've now had birthday parties for free for around 5,000 families
wow.
around the world, and also working with, you know, with labourers, with working internationally as well. So I did a post on my Instagram recently, which is like, well, what's missing? It's the toys. And I have so many people message me saying, you know, we're having mm-hmm. a clear out, or, you know, ahead of Christmas or ahead of a birthday, ahead of Eid, you know, we want to, you know, get clear out some things that the kids just aren't playing with, but they're still in good condition. It's not a throwing out jobby. It is, where can kids get some joy from it? So Birthday Bliss will take good quality toys as well and make that part of a child's special day. So they're going to be there on Monday night.
Yes, they are. So they're bringing down distribution boxes. So as well as the 10 items that perhaps you want to swap, if you've got clothes for men, women or children that you want to give away or that you just don't need anymore, bring them down, pop them in donation boxes, and they will be sending them out to orphanages and people in need across Africa.
Amazing. So this is next Monday night, Cocoa Lounge at the Media One Hotel. Anthea Ash from The Ethiclist. With your permission, if people want to send me the word clothes or swap, I can send you the details. And we've had a message going, is there a ticket price? That's a very good point. So there is a ticket price of around...
Yes, so the ticket price is 150 dirhams. For that, hopefully you're going to go back with 10 new items
mega
of clothes.
Value.
There's going to be free beverages. There's also going to be a goodie bag and obviously all the styling tips and networking with eco-conscious, like-minded individuals.
I think I might have to... Hop along.
Yeah, yes, please.
Loads of people asking for details of both Birthday Bliss and, of course, Ethiclist as well. Thank you so, so much. And thank you, as I said, for introducing me to so many brilliant initiatives, people, companies, services and more through the platform. It's such a valuable addition to the UAE. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you, Helen.
Thank you so, so much. As I said, if you want those details, you can send me the word clothes for information on next week's swap night, and you can send me the word Bliss to find out more about Birthday Bliss, who are always looking for toys. And then next week, as Anthea says, we'll be looking for items to donate to those in need. It is the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, and we are talking today about ways to pay it forward, or should I say, gift it forward. So delighted to be in conversation now with Tal Akhlat, the Associate Director of Philanthropy at Dubai Holding. Gift It Forward is revitalising thousands of new items and products into distinctive, one-of-a-kind gifts that are going to be distributed to thousands of people and hundreds of low-income families in Dubai. It's in partnership with the Community Development Authority, alongside all Dubai Holding portfolio companies and supporting partners too. And I just want to say, first of all, Tala, Ramadan Kareem, how are you?
Thank you, Ramadan Kareem, to you too. Thank you so much, Helen, for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure. I think it's so important that, you know, there's such an emphasis on Ramadan, and so much of that is on, you know, hotel iftars or, you know, fashion to an extent. And I think sometimes we actually forget about the true meaning of Ramadan, you know, in terms of reflecting, showing gratitude, paying it forward. And I think this is just a really beautiful example of what, you know, one initiative, the impact that one initiative can have. Would you mind telling us a little bit about the background, maybe the motivations behind launching Gift It Forward?
Thank you. Yes, for sure. So Gift It Forward, that was launched, you know, by Dubai Holding, today will be launched, is about revitalizing and repurposing thousands of new items and product into unique gift packages that will be distributed to 8,000 blue collars workers here in Dubai, as well as 500 low-income families in Dubai. So just to mention something very important, what is unique about this campaign, as you have mentioned, you don't see, we will not be doing the traditional essential care packages that are usually distributed in Ramadan. It's valuable gifts that will be distributed to our beneficiaries. So the objective of the campaign is to unite or integrate two main things. So the first one is, you know, responsible consumption, sustainable practices, but also united with social responsibility and giving back to the community. And just sorry to mention one more thing, that this campaign is in support with the national campaign that was launched by the Dubai Media Office last week, hashtag Ramadan in Dubai.
So tell us a little bit about that process. You know, talking about repurposing unused items. How are they, I don't know, collected, assembled, distributed? What kind of items are we talking about, Tala?
So, as you can imagine, it's a process, right? So the first step for us was to collect and gather all the items from across our companies and our partner into one central location in
Dubai. How many items are we talking about here?
We started, honestly, with 30,000 items, and now we reached 120,000 items. So you can imagine the amount of boxes that we transported using trucks from different locations in Dubai into our main local warehouse here in Dubai. So this was the first step. The second step for us was to sort and categorize those items. So we had to make sure the items were in excellent condition, they were relevant, appropriate for our beneficiaries. And the third step, which is the most exciting step, is to package and distribute those packages and those gifts. So how this will be done? So each beneficiary will actually receive a unique package for his family or her family. You might have items for men in the bag, for women, for kids. And I can give you some examples. Clothes is an option, you know, garments, accessories, beach bags, caps, stationeries, even books. Mm-hmm. So all these bags will be delivered and packaged through our volunteering events that we will start, organizing throughout the whole month of Ramadan. And all the volunteers of Dubai Holding will join us. The volunteers of our partners also will join us during these events to package and distribute the packages.
120,000 items.
It's crazy.
My gosh. But what it really speaks to is that this is such a decision by the organisation to want to do more, want to do better. How does Gift It Forward kind of align, do you think, with Dubai Holding's, well, sustainability strategy, something I know you're really passionate about, but also this idea of responsible consumption, Tala?
So Dubai Holding's sustainability strategy has five main pillars. And one of the pillars that I look after is philanthropy, or also called corporate social responsibility, CSR. So the thematic focus of our philanthropic efforts are about responsible consumption and creating sustainable communities. So this campaign aligns very well with this thematic focus because it encourages businesses as well as employees to think about not only their consumption habits, but how they maximize the resources they use and how they can use the resources, in a most efficient way. Mm-hmm. So this is how it really aligns the strategy with our thematic focus in Dubai Holding.
I'm going to talk next a little bit about the impact that this initiative will be having during the holy month of Ramadan, how Tala's hoping it's going to evolve in the future too. It is Afternoons with me, Helen Farmer. Wonderful to have you with us in conversation now with Tala Clad, the Associate Director of Philanthropy at Dubai Holding, as we talk about Gift It Forward. It starts today, rolling all the way through and helping absolutely thousands. Joining us in studio now on the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, we have the Associate Director for Philanthropy at Dubai Holding, Tala Clat. Gift It Forward is the initiative we're discussing today. It is going to be revitalising, 120,000 items we've just learned into distinctive one-of-a-kind gifts and distributed to around 8,000 blue-collar workers as well as 500 low-income families in Dubai. I mean, the logistics behind this, Tala, makes my head fall off. There must be a huge number of people working behind the scenes. You mentioned volunteers from Dubai Holding to do the packing and distributing. What about the partners? Who are you working on, you know, to make this a reality? Who's helping? What value are they bringing?
So, one of the most important enablers of our philanthropic efforts and strategy is partnership. So this is not new to Dubai Holding. Dubai Holding has been partnering with many organizations in the past, both from the public sector and from the private sector. For this campaign, we have more than 10 partners who have joined forces with us. So first, we have from the public sector, the Community Development Authority, that is supporting us to reach those 500 low-income families. So this is from the public sector. From the private sector, we have famous retailers such as Azadea and Apparel Group, who donated thousands of items. Wow. And this is fantastic. Items for men, for women, for kids, clothes, jewelry, accessories. So, and lastly, and this is, I think, the most important part for Dubai Holding, is our own companies. You know, it was a collective effort for us to gather all these items. And I want to give a few examples, if you don't mind, Helen. So, for instance, Dubai Holding Entertainment provided an extensive collection of Bollywood-themed items for kids, for women and for men, such as, you know, stationery, caps, accessories, jewelry, very nice items. Another example from our own, you know, portfolio is Dubai Holding Hospitality and Jumeirah Group, mm-hmm. who provided towels, linens,
wow.
Premium toiletries, beach accessories. All of that came together, you know, to reach, as I have mentioned, 120,000 items.
I think what's really lovely, as you mentioned before, and there are, and rightfully so, there are a lot of organisations that are looking after those essentials, and, you know, through schools and through our own efforts as well, you know, that putting together, you know, the basic toiletries and the, you know, and snacks as well. But what this really speaks to is this idea of, you know, treating somebody, you know, it's a really special time, you know, a gift that could be sent back home or something that people might not be able to access normally. I think it must be very, very meaningful. What kind of impact are you hoping it's going to have on the recipients?
Look, this campaign has impact definitely on people first, but also on the planet. Mm-hmm. So we want to bring joy to people during the holy month of Ramadan. And we want them to feel supported. We want them to feel that we are there for them. So this is one. But also, this campaign, I think, will raise awareness on the importance of the environment, the importance of maximizing and utilizing what we have in a better way, in a more efficient way. And changing mindset, Helen, is not easy. It's a process and it takes a lot of time. But this campaign can be, you know, the first step, or we can plant the seed, let's say, to make this change. And I have to mention that in each of our volunteering events, we will have awareness sessions for the volunteers to understand better what are the impact they have, what is the impact they have on the environment through our partner, Gumbook, who is supporting us implement this campaign.
They're a fantastic initiative, Tatiana. They're just absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
But I think that's also speaks to a really interesting point, that we think that we can't have impact as one individual, which is so far from the truth. Last question to you, Tala. I know we're only on day one of Gift It Forward, but when you look to, you know, future plans, how are you hoping this is going to evolve?
Look, the campaign honestly gained a lot of momentum. I mean, the first month we started with 30,000 items. We're at 120 items and it keeps coming. We're very happy. We hope that next year we have a second edition, even bigger. In terms of volunteering, we decided this year to start small and provide the volunteering experience to our own employees and the employees of our, you know, partners. But next year, we want to engage the public. We want them to come down to the warehouse and support us. And this year, how you can get involved, I was thinking that if our listeners today are listening and tuning in, and if you are working in a business that would like to, you know, contribute and donate some of the items, please do reach out to us on our Instagram, send us a text, and we'll contact you to see how we can work together.
With your permission, Tala, if people want to send me the word donate, if it is a corporate who's listening today who says, goodness, we'd love to be part of that, send me the word donate. I will send the details so we can connect you. You need to go to the warehouse.
I'm waiting for you.
I'll meet you there. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Helen.
Absolute pleasure to be hearing more about Gift It Forward with Associate Director of Philanthropy there at Dubai Holding, Tala Katt. It is, of course, the first day of the holy month of Ramadan, and I mean, I know it's only been day one, but I have to say the energy over the city, it's a really noticeable difference. And on the kind of a personal basis this morning, the later starting time allowed more time with my kids this morning. They got to sleep a little bit later. I know everyone has their own experience or their own interpretation at this time, but for me, it always comes back to family. So we're talking about how to use this time. And talking now to Ula Baganska from LEGO Middle East, because their Ramadan campaign is underway, which we're going to be talking about soon, including their CEO telling other CEOs to have a bit of playtime too. But before we get to that, Ula, tell us a little bit about the Lego Playwell report, because there is science, there are stats, there is data behind the fun, right?
Yes. Hi, Helen. Hi, everybody. Really nice to be here again. Yes, absolutely. There is a science, but you know, first of all, there are kids, and I think what we always have in mind is to listen to the kids and see the world through the eyes of kids. And in the Playwell report, we Lego Foundation is interviewing lots of families all around the world, including UAE and Saudi Arabia, and from that we know that it's play is not only what kids want and desire, and it's not only how they build connection, but it's as well how we as adults build that connection ourselves with each other and with our families. It's essentially the ultimate bonding activity that we have at our disposal. And we can see that between 80 to 90% of adults are saying that play for them is that moment when they really can disconnect and be themselves and discover maybe a bit of their goofy side. I think I heard your interview the other week with one of the occupational therapists that
Adam,
was talking about
Adam, this. The OT. He's a big goofball, loves a bit of play. But what he spoke to really well was that sometimes you do feel self-conscious as an adult playing.
Yes.
So if you have a tool, if you have a toy that you can work on together, it can cut through any of that find a self-conscious feeling, I think.
Absolutely. And I think this is exactly the case, that I think we discover it ourselves as well in our lives, right? That it's not necessarily every type of play that we connect with as adults. Mm-hmm. It sometimes feels very force-fitted or something that we maybe forgot, or it's not particularly what we are passionate also about in our adult life.
And kids pick up on that. Kids
exactly.
It's like, Mum, I know you're hating playing, you know, dollies with me or whatever. But for me, I love Lego. So this has always become like a connection point for my kids from when they were little all the way through to now. And I kind of did a little experiment on Saturday when it was rainy and we were at home. So the kids both wrote down their kind of lists of things that they wanted to do. And someone had said to me on the show recently, I bet even if you say to your kids, do you want iPad time or do you want to play? The majority of kids, the majority of the time, will ask to have that time with you. So I was like, okay, kids, you know, you can have half an hour of iPad, or Tabby, you just got this new creative series from Lego with the roller skate and da da da. I can do that with you if you'd like to do it now. And she was like, could not have said, let's play faster. And I was like, interesting. You're choosing me over YouTube Kids. I'm so honored.
That's so true, because you know, I have seen it when we do interviews with kids, I have seen it also myself, when I would ask them for their best memory that they would have. You would think that kids would say like, oh, I won this competition gaming with friends, or I went to school and I, you know, got an award for something. But no, they would tell me, this one time my dad sat with me and we played together for 1 hour. And that would be the best memory. And you would think, like, as an adult, that it's such a trivial thing. And we maybe even wouldn't classify it, because we would think, oh, we need to do, you know, go to resorts and organize holiday and do so much hoopla to arrange something, the coolest experience for the kids. Well, for them, that hour of connection with us is what they really are after. But not only on their side, also on our side, we don't realize how much it contributes to our well-being.
And well, we hear this mindfulness word an awful lot, and I think it's kind of lost meaning, and it means different things to different people. But again, I am revealing my passion for Lego here. People talk about the state of flow quite a lot, where you look down at your watch and go, oh, an hour has passed and I had not realized. And I get into that with doing jigsaws, with reading, and with Lego.
Yeah, I absolutely agree to that. And it's funny, like what you said about right now, this time of Ramadan, because already with the last weekend and the rain forecast, on Friday I was thinking, like, finally, I'll have that time at home that I can sit with my daughter, build what we have actually planned, and there will be no distractions. And then we would go out and splash a bit of water when it would stop raining. And then come back and do again some hot cocoa and again building. And that was also the Ramadan period I was looking forward to, like not only seeing and visiting people but spending time with them as the most important part of it.
Couldn't agree more.
And that's what we wanted to talk about, really.
We're going to be talking about what is happening with LEGO Middle East for Ramadan, including a calendar, a competition, stickers as well. Ulla Baganska is with us today from LEGO Middle East. We're talking building of a different kind now with, from LEGO Middle East, Ulla Baganska. We're talking about the LEGO Ramadan campaign, which is about build with everyone. So, I did refer to it earlier, we're kind of competing against screen time and very busy lives, but hoping that during Ramadan there is some time, some respite to really, well, I was going to make a really cheesy line there about connect to each other and connect some bricks, Ulla, but I'll leave that to your PR department. Tell us a little bit about what you've pulled together for the holy month of Ramadan and why, crucially.
So mentioning what we talked before about really trying to listen to the kids and what they want and facilitating that playtime for adults, we developed that Build with Everyone initiative where we encourage all the families, but not only. You can build with everybody around you, really your friends, your teachers. And that came with the ideas for that actually came from the kids that we feature in the campaign. So we have a young talent from the region that actually came up with those ideas on who they want to play with and what they want to build with. And that came out in the form of Ramadan calendar that we are right now in any toy retailer. If you purchase a Lego box, you can actually get some sticker sheets for that calendar. But that calendar is available for free everywhere you go in the toy retail. So you can pick it up. There's a lot of play ideas and build ideas. So everything from garlic crusher, that it's not obvious thing to build from Lego, to maybe a camel or some holiday ideas that you can build from the Lego bricks. And with that, actually 100 first families that will complete that calendar are also up for a very nice hamper gift from LEGO Middle East.
So you're saying it's a competition. Challenge accepted, Ulla. I know what I'm doing come 5:30 today. Now, it's not just about the kids. I understand that you're having a bit of an invitation. The Christian Imhoff, the GM of LEGO Middle East, has been inviting other big bosses to play. Is that right?
Yes, you know, so good old door-to-door marketing. We knock on people's door and
say, do you want to play some Lego?
Exactly. That's what we do. So we decided that it's really about playing with everyone. And that's for us the overarching idea. And we really want to show that it doesn't matter where you are in life, how old you are, what do you do, the play is important for you and is important for our mental health, for our well-being, for self-care, and let's all have that fun time. So indeed, Christian has gone to a couple of and bonded with a couple of CEOs in the region around the Lego play, and I can tell you, some of them didn't want to let him go.
But I think that intergenerational play is a really important point. When my parents were here at Christmas, my daughter got a Lego Friends water park for Christmas, and to see her and my nearly 80-year-old dad, you know, sit together and work through it together, and he didn't understand the because you know there weren't sets when he was growing up. He had Meccano and he had, you know, some bricks when I was little, and I could see the sense of accomplishment on both of their faces, and it was really, really special. So if we can capture just a little bit of that magic over Ramadan, I would be delighted about that in our house.
Absolutely agree, because what we also can see, and there are such initiatives around the world, set up nurseries next to elderly houses for really people to facilitate that intergenerational play, because it's really important for both to kids bond with people that normally they maybe don't see on an everyday basis and to understand better and to learn from that experience. But it's so important for also the elderly to do that and also for their health and mental well-being. We have a wonderful play facilitator, Saira, here in the region, who is running non-profit workshops for elderly who suffer from Alzheimer's or from dementia. And she does it with the facilitation of Lego bricks.
Wow.
And it really stimulates their motoric skills, but also the helps them with the with preserving their health, you know.
Amazing. So unexpected benefits there. Ulla, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. As I said, I know what I'm doing tonight. Ula Biganska from Lego Middle East. That Ramadan campaign is ongoing, so make sure you go along, get your sticker sets and get into that competition. Prizes to be had if you are indeed an adult fan of Lego, just like me.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With House and House, 10 years of unlocking opportunities in Dubai real estate.
We're talking renovations, getting your home ready for sale, getting your home the best price possible now with Talia Besser. She's been working in the Arabian Ranches team at House and House for more than 5 years. So I'm sure you've seen a few transformations, Talia, in your time. How are you?
Yeah, good to see you, Helen. I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm really good. I wish I was one of those people that could look at a home and go, oh, I can just imagine what this would look like with, you know, a bit of a spend in a few months. Do you have a good eye for renovations?
Yeah, look, I have been focusing on properties that are renovated, I'd say, in the last couple of years. And I think, you know, the market has changed dramatically in, I'd say, even the last 2 years in terms of, like, what properties are looking like now in ranches, in many different locations, actually.
I think a lot of these properties, we're now getting to this kind of, you know, 10-year, 15-year, even 20-year build. And while they might have ticked the box aesthetically at that time, it may be the demographic of Dubai has changed. Maybe we're looking for, you know, following more trends because of social media, perhaps.
Exactly.
So I wanted to pick your brains, if that's okay, in terms of how to best present your home for those valuations, for the viewings, for the photos as well. What have you seen work and indeed not work in the past?
Well, look, I think in terms of us coming through and doing a evaluation on your home, you know, as long as the place is clean, tidy, we can obviously come in and give you the valuation, of course, and tell you what your house is worth. I guess when it comes to the photography side of things, when you're selling your home, our, you know, marketing team's fantastic. They come in, they'll tell you, you know, maybe move this, put this away. Can we have the countertops cleared? And they come in and really do everything for you guys. So that's a really amazing point with working with us as well.
What about the renovations? If someone if someone has maybe bought a property, has some money left in the pot, and this can either be for their own enjoyment of that property or ultimately looking to make some money off it.
Yeah, of course.
Where have you seen some real value being added with renovations, Talia, in your time?
Look, I find it, these days people really do want to see, you know, quality, I guess. You know, the good materials that, you know, are used basically is number one. I would say if you're doing renovations and, you know, you're redesigning a space even and whatever else, you know, really think about the market of who's buying your house. So, like, for ranches, you know, what people are looking and whatever else.
And so then, family and functionality.
Exactly.
You know, my brain immediately went to sharp edges if you've got little kids running around. Like, how what a boring mum point that is. But it's true. If you spend the whole time, like, putting your hand on the corner of a counter, stressful way to live.
Exactly.
So thinking about the market in mind.
Exactly. And I think another really important point would be, you know, making sure that the materials you're using, you know, let's say minimalistic maybe, you know, a little bit in terms of like the woods or neutral colouring or whatever else, that's also really important in my opinion.
Mass appeal.
Mass appeal, exactly.
Ryan's been in touch. We've got questions from Mohammed as well. Some coming through on social media, of course, on 4001. If you've got any questions for Talia Besser, speaking to us from House and House. She's been working the ranches for years and years and years. We are going to come to the text line in just a few minutes.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.
With House and House, 10 years of unlocking opportunities in Dubai real estate.
Joining us in studio from House and House, Talia Besser. She's been working in ranches for more than 5 years, but happy to answer my questions and yours that are coming in on 4001 about renovations, valuations and selling your home. I want to ask you about putting in a pool. Because whenever I've had friends that have bought properties, that seems to be the first thing. It's like, we're going to knock this through and then we're going to put a pool in. And I'm like, that seems like a very expensive endeavour. Do you tend to see a return on that kind of investment?
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, the two things I find that sell a home in Dubai is the kitchen and the garden. So what you do in the garden is so important. I think, you know, especially in a place like Dubai where we have amazing weather most of the time, unlike Saturday. But, you know, I think it's definitely a huge value add.
Indoor, outdoor lifestyle.
Exactly.
Message here, no name when it's saying how to make a standard bill villa in the villa community stand out.
Okay.
So if there is a lot of stock in a community, in a neighbourhood of a similar, you know, budget, you know, bedroom configuration, standing out from your competitors, what have you seen work in the past, Talia?
I really think, as I said earlier, the how you plan the actual floor plan is so important, number one. I think, you know, obviously making sure that, you know, you have beautiful flooring. I think everyone really walks in and they see a space, they want big windows, they want to see beautiful flooring, they want to see, you know, the fixtures and fittings need to look and feel impressive, I think really is something that will help for sure.
This is, in the villa community, much more of like a family home situation. What if you're buying a one bed and you're buying it purely to sell it and make some money?
Yeah, good question.
So I'm getting some quick fixes. What can work there?
I think number one would maybe be to whitewash. So let's say you've got those kind of mahogany brown kind of doors.
Yeah.
You know those ones.
Know them well.
Whitewashing them. And then I would say also there's a really easy solution, which is wrapping. So there's a few wrapping companies out there because...
And this is for cabinets
specifically? Yeah, exactly. So cabinets, kitchens, bathroom, vanities even, you can wrap those. So maybe the, you know, the previous would be a little bit outdated and the colour might not be to your taste. And you wrap those and it's a really good, easy solution for renting as well if you want to rent a villa and freshen it up as well.
We did this. My conundrum now is we rent. I was like, and the floors are really depressing me. They are like 90s hospital flooring, like the tiles. I'm like, we don't own this place, but the floors are making me sad.
That's why
I need to try and decide now. What should I spend? Talia, for anyone that wants to contact you about ranches, obviously in particular.
Yeah, of course.
You are one of the leading consultants in that part of town. Would it be okay to share your details?
Of course. Yeah, definitely.
And are you very busy right now?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
always busy. But... you know, any clients, we're always happy to help.
So if you are looking to buy, of course, and to sell in ranches, if you want to send me the word house, I'd be very happy to share Talia's details with you so she can show you around, help you out, get you the best price, whether you are indeed buying or selling your property. Talia, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Absolute so good to see you.
Absolute pleasure. You too. And thank you for all the great questions, guys. Joining us in studio now, Jasmine Stevenson from Kashwari Law Firm. She's got over a decade of experience. We've stolen her away from Ramadan hours in a very busy day to answer my questions, but most importantly, yours. So it is a property law special between now and 5 o'clock. No such thing as a silly question, whether you're looking to get some clarity on a topic or a law change, or maybe you have got a specific situation that is keeping you up at night. We cannot have that. Free legal advice, 4001, and you can use that ARN Play app too. Or WhatsApp us, same number as the phone line, and you can call us on that. It's 04871 5500. How are you, Jasmine?
Yes, doing very well. Thank you, Helen.
Yeah.
And Ramadan Kareem to everybody.
And to you, and to you. We've had messages talking about gratitude for reduced working hours. So I think... some industries never rest, though.
No,
so,
never any sleep here for us.
No. Well, I do always really appreciate your time. And I think sometimes it's looking behind the headlines or indeed going to the text line, and you're a very busy woman on the text line. So if you are sitting at home or in your car thinking, oh gosh, I really hope we talk about XYZ, be the one to instigate that, get the answers that you need. And I would say do it sooner rather than later because it does get busy towards the end of the show. We have seen in the last couple of weeks the RERA calculator reset, which is it was recalibrated to become more representative of the open market pricing. So I wanted to ask you about increases from landlords, the legal way to basically increase your rent. What and when do landlords need to do in order to be in line with the law, Jasmine?
Yes, most definitely. We have this inquiry quite a lot, actually, that comes up. And I think there needs to be like a little bit of clarity done. So I know that our law firm is going to actually issue like an official statement, which outlines all of the increases and everything that needs to be done. But the standard rule of law is that in your contract, there should be a set time, which is around 90 days before the end of your tenancy, which allows you to either cancel your tenancy in advance and let your landlord know, or for your landlord to let you know he's going to be increasing the rent. Obviously, the rental increase can only be done if it's legal. You know, you can't just ask for things randomly. So there's set guidelines that start at 5% up to 20%. And there's many ways you can organise it. But the way you can increase the rent is either by a mutual agreement. So your landlord can send you over an email to say, look, it's giving you 90 days. We can increase it by this X, Y, and amount. If you are not in agreement with that request, then anybody, the landlord or yourself, as the tenant, can go down to the RDC and literally present the documents to the RDC and basically ask, is this correct? if the RDC can't answer there and then on the day, which they are pretty much sort of like a help in person desk, so they should be able to answer that. If it gets into a dispute, you can actually raise a case for a few hundred dirhams in which you submit your documents, your landlord's request to the RDC, and they will basically tell you, yes, this is legal, or no, it's not. Mm-hmm. And that's the best way to really get a paperwork in place from the authorities that tells you if you're doing the right thing, if your landlord's doing the right thing. And it's the best way for reassurance.
What about from a landlord's side, if they're looking at the RERA calculator and going, well, you know, they're saying three bed, my three bed is fantastic, you know, mm-hmm. it's got all this land and we've recently renovated and it's actually worth a lot more than what the calculator is saying.
Sure.
Is there a way of getting another valuation in order to get the price it's actually worth?
Yes, most definitely. So the landlord can take his documents down to the RDC and he can request a valuation certificate. And that will basically value your property based on what it actually looks like rather than the average. Mm-hmm. So you can then use that valuation certificate to increase the rent based on a certain percentage. But obviously you have to bear in mind that sometimes the tenants won't be happy with that increase. So you really can only apply the law to get that increase confirmed.
And I guess from a tenant point of view, if your landlord is quite hands-off and it gets that 90 days and you haven't had any communication mm-hmm. about renewal or rental increases, I mean, I was going to say decreases, that would be nice. Do you just go under the assumption then that those terms are going to continue on a rolling basis once it gets renewal?
Yes, most definitely. I mean, it really depends on your relationship with the landlord. If they've missed their 90-day cutoff point, legally you can say, "You look, no, you can't put the rent up." But I know in my situation, the same thing happened. And obviously, we want to maintain a good relationship with our landlord. So we just agreed a half increase rather than the full 20%. Okay. But you can't be forced to put it up if there's no proof. But you just need to bear in mind that your landlord can still try and open a case against you and request that increase, in which you then have to represent yourself and, you know, obviously make a statement that you didn't receive it.
Okay.
But just not receiving it doesn't mean they may not file an RDC case against you, in which you've got to represent yourself. It may not be over once that 90 days has passed, unfortunately.
Good intel from Jasmine Stevenson. Up next, we're talking delayed handover. We've got an anonymous message saying, can I rent out my maid's room for extra income? We're tenants in a two-bed apartment. What does the law say? Joining us in studio is Jasmine Stevenson, real estate case manager representing Kashwani Law Firm. Anonymous message here for you, Jasmine, saying, can I rent out my maid's room for extra income? We are tenants in a two-bed apartment.
Sure, yes. So we would always advise that you contact your landlord directly and take actual written permission from him. A lot of the contracts stipulate that, you know, inverted commas, subletting isn't actually allowed. Normally, it's meant to be rented to a residential property for one family use. So before you do anything, just make sure that you ask your landlord permission, obviously explain your financial situation. And normally they're pretty lenient, but just make sure you get something in writing through confirmation from mm-hmm. him or her, just to be on the safe side and protect yourself in the future.
Good question. And I think a lot of people are looking at actual kind of revenue streams. So thinking about what I said, but yes, do not do it without permission. This is the same for subletting. It's like an Airbnb.
Sure.
We've had questions about that
yeah.
before. You know, can I sublet it when I go on holiday? Mm-hmm. Get permission or you might get burnt. We've had a message here from BB saying, looking for advice. The owner is selling the apartment that I currently rent. I have a legal eviction notice for November. The agent brought round a prospective buyer who wants to buy it. He's offering me the full rent back plus another 20 grand on top if I agree to leave early. The agent said I could stipulate when, e.g. end of May. He even said I could ask for 25,000. They want a decision pretty quickly, but I don't know who to ask about the legality of this offer. I know I will have to eventually leave the apartment as I pay a lot less than the going rate, but I did think I'd be here until November. Any help on the legality of this would be most welcome. Thank you. That's from BB.
Yes, sure. So basically, if you reach a mutual settlement with anybody, not even just tenancy agreements, then it's absolutely no problem. But what you want to do is have a contract drawn up and by us just to confirm your interests. So yes, it's definitely legal. A lot of landlords and even the buyers are currently offering tenants an advance payment, which we call sort of a settlement or a compensation to compensate you for moving out earlier. That is correct. If the legal notice has been served correctly and the property is being sold as per the legal notice, then yes, you will eventually have to move out. So we sometimes advise clients to go for the compensation amount, take take the cash.
Take the cash.
Yeah. And we offer a standard sort of settlement agreement between you on your behalf, which we can draft up for you pretty quickly if you're happy with the terms of the agreement. Mm-hmm. So definitely get in touch with us directly. And it's something we can do relatively quickly and easily.
Take the cash. Add in a nice little bit for a hotel stay to kind of tide you over between apartments. Moving costs. If they want you out, make them pay. We've got a lot of questions for Jasmine, so we're going to have a bit of a quick fire round. We've had questions about buying properties together, about landlord not paying service charges as such. I don't have an ajari. Do I still have the same tenant's rights? A message here about landlord increasing the rent by 25% and the handover. We've got an awful lot. As I said, got the best in the business in the hot seat today.
Dubai I 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
Joining us in studio for our legal clinic, we've got Jasmine Stevenson, real estate case manager representing Kashwani Law Firm, and taking your messages on the usual numbers. Are you ready? Are you steady?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hear them.
We've got a lot. Okay. Em is saying, I wanted to ask about the next best step going forwards. I have an off plan that was supposed to hand over at the end of 2022. It was extended for a year, which is allowed as per law. However, they've extended another year as well. I do not wish to sell my property. However, the delay is unacceptable. What can I do in this case?
Sure. In some instances, you can actually claim compensation from the developer, but we would need to see the documents and the dates. Sometimes there's clauses in there that prevent you. I think it's roughly between 12 months and 24 months, but I would need to double check with the real estate team over at Kashwani Law Firm. So just send over your original SPA with the developer and we'll look at it for you and then come back to you in terms of claiming damage for delays.
All right. I will send you Jasmine's details so you can connect offline and you can cast your expert eye over it.
Sure.
Okay. Message here saying, landlord increased the rent last year by 25%. Mutual consent with a word, no further increase or vacating notice. This was on an email. 3 months later, I get a vacating notice for selling as reason given. Notice ends September 2024. What are my legal rights? He's an investor and I have a feeling he's not going to sell. I've asked for selling price with my willingness to buy, but no response.
Sure. Oh, that's an unfortunate one. I mean, realistically, the rent is not meant to be increased by that amount. So obviously, I'm assuming that you have something in writing, but legally, anyone can send you a legal notice, really disregarding anything that's already been mutually agreed. There is no legal notice to not be evicted, if that makes sense. In terms of the eviction date, the best thing for you to do is obviously reach out to him in the nicest way possible and just say, we previously agreed this as per your email X, Y and Z. The next thing to do is when the legal notice vacation date comes up, obviously your landlord will have to actually open a court case to evict you. You can try to use your email correspondence or anything you have to represent yourself and show that to the judge. And then the judge will make a mutual decision based on whether or not that notice would be legal since you already had a pre-agreement. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing that I would try to do, if possible. Yes.
You must be a nightmare tenant. I bet you're like, I will not be moved.
My landlord really likes me, actually. He's actually a client of the law firm. So I think he gets a large amount of discounts by having me there and calling me for legal advice at any time.
See, quid pro quo. Jasmine with us today. Anonymous message here saying, does the 90-day notice for rental increase need to be a physical document or would email suffice?
Sure. So any of your correspondence legally should always be done by the email on the tenancy contract. You can try and use WhatsApps in the future, but realistically, the only legal way is email from your email on the contract to the tenant's email on the contract and vice versa.
Okay. Good. Good question. Good answer. A message here for you, Jasmine, saying, my landlord didn't pay the service charges and as such, I don't have a jari. Do I still have the same tenant's rights? I have a contract with the property management agency and pay my rent as per that contract.
Sure, that's a bit of a complicated one. So you should have at least a tenancy contract, even if you don't have a physical ijari that's been registered. You can always rely on a previous ijari as well, but the service charges shouldn't be reflected on you as the tenant. Mm. So that's a bit of a confusing one. If you want to drop us an email, I'll have the real estate team have a look at it for you.
Okay.
Because, that one's not quite clear.
tell you what, if you want to send me the word law or a thumbs up number ending 55, I will connect you with Jasmine. Okay. How do you feel about helping someone out who's had a bad legal experience?
Always. We welcome them. Okay. Come on in.
Message here saying, I know my landlord rented out the house I was in for twice the rent. I lost the legal case due to an incompetent lawyer. Is there anything I can do without spending another 30 grand in legal fees?
Sure. Oh, we don't throw the word incompetent out lightly here. No, the best thing to do is you need to send over to us your judgment. Whenever you have a legal case, whether you've won it or you've lost it, you will receive a final judgment based on the outcome of the case. We can only have a look at that, have a look at the reasons why the judge has denied your case. And you always have around 30 days to actually appeal a case. So we want to send us over your judgment so we can have a look at it, review it. And I'll have the team, the Arabic team, of course, they're always in Arabic, come over to us and then let you know exactly why you've lost the case and then what we can do to try and rectify it. Okay. Free of charge.
Okay. There you go.
Send me You've the already word. Spent too much.
Send me the word law and I'd be happy to send you Jasmine's email so you can follow this up. Message here saying legal notice of eviction. It needs to be notary serviced. Yes, it does. We were talking about increases can be on email, but yes, you're absolutely right. If you are looking to an evict a tenant, it needs to be properly notarized and for those legal reasons that we have outlined in the past.
Dubai Eye 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai Eye 103.8.
With House and House, 10 years of unlocking opportunities in Dubai real estate.
We're having a quick fire round. Jasmine Stevenson in the studio. We have 4 minutes. We have four questions. We're going to crack on, do what we can. Right. If I get an email asking for rent increase on the 91st day, am I expected to comply? What are the rules around this?
Technically, no, because the 90 days has passed for them to give you the rental increase amount. But of course, we always try to push for agreement, good relationships with your landlord. So if you want to do a small increase, you can do. If not, technically, no, you don't.
Okay. No name on this one saying, my tenancy contract expires in April and my 12-month eviction notice require me to leave 31st of July 2024. As such, do I need a new short-term tenancy contract from April to July? As without them, I can't renew my ajari and unsure how this works.
Sure. So the standard rule is that you will renew for the 12 months, which even if you go to the RDC, they'll give you 12 months. You pay your rent and then you get your pro rata rent back. If you don't need the 12 months ajari to move forward, you can obviously agree a short-term contract up until the deadline and pay just the rent until that date. It's really up to you how you proceed and move forward.
So would you be protected with your previous ajari?
Your previous ajari rolls over.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Message here saying, I purchased a villa with X land 8 years ago and got my title deed. A couple of months ago, the developer claimed the land is now X plus Y and I'm required to pay a large amount based on the current value. Is this legal? And can he retain my title deed, which he sneakily withheld?
Oh, please, that's definitely something I would have to give to the senior management. I think Mr. Keshwani is one to have a look at that.
Like to get his teeth into that one.
Yeah, definitely. He's the most qualified in our real estate team, so most definitely. But you need to send us over the documents because we really need to have a look at this, the title deed, who the developer is, and the original SPA, mm-hmm. and see what legalities they've put in that original contract. That first contract means everything for the rest.
Okay.
Any buyers, anything else. So we need to look at that one.
And a message here saying, is this allowed? Advice for increase was sent 90 days or more before renewal, but the follow-up email with the exact amount of rent and other terms was sent just a month before renewal.
Yeah, that's correct, because at the time of the renewal, the rent may be a different price. So you basically give the 90 days notice, and then as soon as closest to the renewal date, your landlord will then actually give you the exact amount based on the RERA calculator at that exact time.
That's hard, because at 3 months you might go, all right, I can have a quick get a rough idea of what it's going to be and agree to it. But then, you know, fluctuations, and then you're like, well, actually,
it doesn't increase too much, in all honesty. Okay. But like we said, the best way to resolve anything is just through a mutual agreement with your landlord. Most of the landlords that we see are really reasonable, mm-hmm. you know, and vice versa. And you obviously want to have that good relationship if possible.
Okay.
Because staying somewhere for 12 months knowing the people hate you is not really the best way to go about things.
Also, cost of moving.
And the cost of moving, to move out as well. So we try to push everything to be done mutually as much as possible. Obviously, we know that's not possible in some
some situations. Mm-hmm. But see what you can do in a mutual way to get started.
All right, Jasmine. Emma's been in touch earlier saying, my boyfriend and I would like to buy a property together, mortgage and deed in both our names, or at least the deed in both our names, and one pays half the mortgage by cheques. We aren't married, won't be married for another year, but I've been thinking about buying for a while. I want to do it sooner rather than later. Is it possible to put two names on the deed when you aren't married? Thanks for any advice.
Right, first of all, you've got to attempt to put a ring on it, because no, it is not possible.
It's not possible.
So you can actually, two people, unmarried or friends, can actually purchase a property only without a mortgage. The bank will not allow you to take a mortgage out as two single individuals. So one person has to take responsibility for the mortgage payments, even if you split 50-50. And then what we advise you to do is have a separate contract that outlines all of the payments to protect your interest, because mm-hmm. technically one of the person will be the legal owner. Also, we advise you, go get married, girl. Get out there.
Go
get
on.
It done.
Hop over to the Seychelles and then like, and then I'll do your proper wedding in a few months. Yeah, just do it.
Helen, we've got me here to do the legal paperwork and Helen to do the officiating, so we're sorted.
I will bless you. Jasmine, we've had so many people asking for your details. It's been a bit of a whirlwind hour. The time goes so, so fast. We've had so many questions. For anyone that does want your details, and I'm thinking especially of those listeners that got in touch about documentation that you'd like to see.
Definitely.
Send me the word law and I'd be very happy to share Jasmine Stevenson's details. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Hope to hear from you all.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. Really, really appreciate the insights. It is one of the busiest hours on your radio.
Dubai I 103.8 presents an array of independent expert opinions and does not advise one particular view. Always seek independent legal advice which considers your own personal circumstances.
And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai I 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5pm.
You've been listening to a Dubai I 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai I in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.